Welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Visit Milwaukee. Wisconsin is home to some of America's best public access golf, most of which is a short drive from Milwaukee. Center your summer travel plans around coming to the Brew City. You can enjoy courses designed by the late, great Pete Dye, Langford and Moreau, Corin Crenshaw, David McClay Kidd, and many more, all within a reasonable drive from the city. You know, center the trip around the city. Stay in the city. It's a great spot to stay, and, you know, it gives you a lot of options at night beyond golf. The best part about staying in Milwaukee is those options and getting to indulge in the amazing food and beer scene. The city is immensely walkable and filled with great craft breweries and James Beard award-winning restaurants. Go to visitmilwaukee.com/golf for more information about how to make the most of your trip. We are back with an episode about a golf course that's less than an hour from Milwaukee, the nine-hole Eagle Springs Golf Resort. It's in Eagle, Wisconsin. This course is the oldest course in Wisconsin and amazingly has been owned by the same family since its inception in 1893. We speak with its current owner, Mike Bolin, about the history of the course and what it's like to own a course today. I'm sure this will come out in the podcast, but Eagle Springs is worth the trip and stop. It's a nine-hole course, so you can get around it quick and add it easily to a golf trip up in Wisconsin. I highly recommend going. It has some unbelievable golf holes that you literally can see nowhere else, in the sense that, you know, that every course has holes that you can't see anywhere else. But these are holes that will make your jaw drop. And it's close to Erin Hills in Lawsonia. So add it on, go see it, support a local business, you know, kind of a one-man band, as Mike reveals. So without further ado, here's Mike Bolin.
I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
Fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Where do you guys fall on the oldest golf courses in Wisconsin?
Well, from my what I was always was told is, when I was a kid, and I'm 65 now, was we were started in 1893, which makes us the oldest one. Tuscumbia, I believe, say they're 1895. They also claim to be the oldest golf course.
They might say 18 hole, right?
We were 18 holes too at one point.
Okay.
So, I mean, they may say 18, and I think somebody just asked me that. I think Janesville was the oldest country club, because his book is mostly about the country clubs, because it's the WSGA. But he does mention us in Tuscumbia in his book.
So explain kind of how the course came about, and obviously your family's history here.
Well, my family came from the west coast of Ireland in 1866, and I guess it'd be my great great grandfather. And he had three sons, and they came here and they farmed to begin with. And then one of his sons decided to build a hotel and a golf course in 1893. So at one point there was an 18-hole golf course with a hotel, there's pictures of it with the old big old veranda. It was torn down, I think, in the probably the 30s. One of his daughters died, and he had a broken heart and tore the hotel down. But the golf course has remained, although it got shortened from 18 holes to 9 holes.
When did that happen?
Well, it's kind of a guess. The man who taught me how to chip was at a Chicago insurance agency, and he was a country club golfer. Like, his brother took me to play at North Shore after they played the, you know, so they were serious serious golfers after they played the U.S. Amateur there. And he, when he was a kid, they had a cabin here, and he mowed greens. And he probably would be, he'd probably be around 130 or 40 years older than I am. And so he said when he was a teenager, so if he was 100, say he was 15, that would have been, you know, 85 years ago.
1930.
Yeah. So he said that it was that the course, some of the course went further south. So you know, it goes from number one towards number three, goes from north to south. So it would have been continuing going south past number three. And then they, there was a he said number four came out and dog leg, had a hard dog leg up. He said there was some, you know, there's a lot of area between 8, 9, and 1. He said there was some back and forth holes, but there's a false front on a, in the middle of that area, just like there is on number six. So there probably was a green there, and there's probably a tee by the there's a little square or rectangular raised a foot raised tee on by number eight by the two trees on the top of the hill, and number five down about 100 yards out. There's another one of those little tees. But I've never seen a picture of it. One of the guys that follows you brought up a like a 1930s aerial, and it wasn't on there.
Yeah, that's, I've looked at that 1937 aerial.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, it looks like it's nine holes then.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I saw too.
Could be Great Depression.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's when it.
I've seen pictures where to the left of number three, they plowed it at one time. So, you know, maybe it was a much firmer surface. You could if you stand in number four tee now, and it's too overgrown, but used to be able to see there was a definite lower brush area and higher tree area where the fairway must have gone down. And now everything's too tall; you can't see it anymore.
Mm-hmm. So your relatives built the golf course, and then through all the way till 2019, it's remained under family ownership.
Yes, they had a. They had I guess there's when you inherit property, there's tenants in common and a joint tenancy. And I think in tenants in common, so if you have, say you have four siblings and your last parent dies, and they give each one of you their portion of the estate. In a joint tenancy, if there's four partners in this, when one of them dies, their part goes back to the other three. It doesn't go to their descendants. And so that's how this was set up, and that's one of the reasons it kept coming back into this smaller group. And eventually it was my grandmother and my mother were the last two here.
And then
my sister and I, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I, in the 90s, I bought my sister out. She wanted to leave and do something else. So now I'm the last one.
So let's talk a little bit. I think we've got obviously so many of our listeners, and I get lots of emails from people about like owning a golf course and buying a golf course and owning a golf. What's it like running a family owned golf course in 2019?
There's been different cycles. So if you were in the 90s and 2000s, it was your tee sheet would be full. All the time, you know, you didn't really, in fact, at some point I didn't even take that many outings because I didn't want to push my regulars away. And now you move to this time and now it's like, there's not many of that. And everybody is trying to do events because there's more money involved with it. There's probably more ancillary products you can sell. People are here for a longer period of time for food and beverage. That's kind of where it's gone to where, you know, used to be we'd have people from 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, they'd be here. Now 7 maybe, you know, it's, mm-hmm. And that's sporadic, you know, so I'm almost thinking about giving a special on a weekend, on a Saturday to come early. I know that's probably not true. And, you know, if you go closer to more populated areas, but, you know, there's a, you know, it seems like there's been, because of this, the lack of courses, there's been a stagnation in demand. So the price you can charge has stagnated also.
How much have your prices changed since, like, say, the early 2000s?
I'd say that from the early 2000s, they may have, well, in the early 2000s, we might not have had carts either. So that's the difference. They probably went up, I would say, 50%, the green fee prices. And then people, because this course is hilly, we do use, there's a lot of cart usage. So I'd say maybe 50% from that time. But, probably in the last 5 years, if it's a dollar, on a $20 green fee, if it's a dollar, that's probably what it's been. And for a long time, expenses were stagnant too, but now they go up. It's, I bought a used rough mower for $18,000 this year. It retails brand new. It's like $60,000. There's no way a course. I'm not even sure how some of the bigger courses can afford to have, because they're going to have multiples of this. Where I only have one of these. From that standpoint, that's made it a little tough. There was a time I wanted to expand to 18 holes and purchased land around me. Not sure that would be. Well, I'm too old now, but I'm not sure that that's the best investment. Although, if you could build a killer 13-hole golf course, that might work nowadays too. As opposed to, 12 good holes and 6 bad holes, you might be better off with 13 and do some kind of weird marketing that way or something. But, getting employees is kind of especially in my situation, don't really make enough for a full year-round manager to work with me. And you have I have a transient workforce. So a lot of them work for me for 2, 3 years, 4 years. Sometimes you'll have a kid who's going to grad school. You get 7 years or 8 years because they drank the Kool-Aid and they like hanging out here. So then they like the work and being outside, and it's a beautiful place. And so from that perspective, it's a little bit challenging. I think the good things that you have, dealing with the employees that do well and thrive, dealing with the customers, talking to the customers, they're always the best and the worst. You get a bad one, it's really bad, but you get good ones, and it's like one of my favorite ones just died, and he's like, he'd come and you could talk about golf. He loved golf, but you could talk about all kinds of unrelated things. And he was older, and he had this life experience, and all that stuff is still great. I mean, that is, if you're in, and because I have to work all the time, I'm in here, and I contact these people. Mm-hmm. I get to know them, and so that stuff is great. I would tell you that this place exists because my family never had much debt, and like I said, I bought a used mower. Don't buy new mowers. I bought a new greens mower because that's the most important one. But I was willing to live this lifestyle where you're 7 days a week when you're on.
Mm-hmm. From open to close, pretty much.
Well, I mean, I have people that are open, but I mean.
Do you live right by?
I do. I live like 2 minutes away. I grew up across the parking lot, mm-hmm. and lived there for a long time. Now on the other side of number 9 Green, I don't know if when you took that picture, there's a house there. That's where so I can walk down the hill. So you're here. You're here, and it's not that lucrative for the amount of hours you're putting in.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place, and you do get 2 or 3 months off, and I get to walk the golf course with my dog or snowshoe with my dog on the golf course, and I like that. But I don't think it's an easy go, at least for an old guy like me.
Taking care of the golf course, do you get on mowers and mow sometimes? Yeah. Do you have part-time staff? How's that?
Yeah, so I have there's I have a lot of retired guys. You know, I got a fairway mower, he just comes in and cuts fairways. I got a rough mower, he just comes in and cuts.
They're specialists.
Yeah, they're specialists. And if you can get a farmer or a truck driver that can drive straight lines, it's really good. because professional mowing is not just like mowing your yard. It's being a professional mower is different than a guy mowing his yard. Because a lot of guys say to me, I love mowing my yard. When I retire, I'm going to come and mow for you. And I go, well, maybe that'll work, maybe that won't work. But
it's a big yard too.
Yeah, it's a big yard. Yeah.
That's what I always say. I really like mowing my yard. But mowing my yard takes 40 minutes, and a golf course is about, you know, I don't know how many times bigger, but it's like the world's large. These are the biggest yards in the world.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we had a five gang mower and a tractor, and it would take we only mow once a week. We'd start on Thursdays, and it would take us a day and a half to mow it. Now, we didn't have a differentiation between rough and fairway at that time. It was
the gang mow. Yeah,
everything was mowed at the same height. I'm the weekend cutter a lot. Unless we have an outing, then my one kind of full-time guy, or there's a couple of college kids that will cut in the morning. I do all the spraying. It's like I figure it's my place. I'll take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm pretty anal about it. I wear gloves and mask and suit, and I always say it's like I walk out. I go, yep, the Pillsbury Doughboy's out there again. I spray on. I spray as needed. So I have a degree in metallurgical engineering, but I have read a lot of turf books, and I go to a lot of turf education. And so there's kind of a monitoring of trying to monitor the weather, just to decide when to spray,
Yeah, don't want to spray right before a rain.
No, but you do got to spray when you got a certain, temperature and humidity range. I am going to try like hell not to, I played at University of Wood Ridge once and I was playing and my ball was here and the guy was spraying and he stopped 6 inches short of my ball and started 6 inches past my ball. I try not to, you're not really supposed to do that, I try not to do that. I try to, so that limits spraying time a little bit too. If you're really busy, you don't find me out there generally.
Mm-hmm.
I try to,
Yeah, and then when the weather is good, people are here.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes it tough, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But on a weekend, like I said, I could be the outside guy, the opener on the outside in the morning, and I could be working the closing shift in here. So if that's what's, especially in the spring and the fall when my numbers start to drop.
How many rounds a year do you guys do, say, in your best years and then, in...
I'd say it doesn't fluctuate that much. The last 2 years it was lower. That the year where we had the March that was we actually mowed fairways. The only time we've ever mowed fairways was 70 in the March. It's probably probably 16,500 to maybe 18,000 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's.
And what would you say percentage wise is from your regulars?
I'd say that probably 60% is, I have a bunch of like season pass members. There's fairly strong league play and they play besides league. There's a fairly strong, there's a senior discount, fairly strong senior group that plays. We do a junior membership where they have some instruction for 6 weeks, but they get a membership with it so they can come all summer if you want. So, trying to encourage the ones who want to play golf. Sometimes you're become a little bit of a daycare center for some people, but I think that's the way it's always been for those kids that are golf nuts.
I know. I think about my parents. I was a golf nut, and me and my buddy would ride our bikes with our bags like to the Muni, our local Muni, and we'd be there all day, every day of the summer. Yeah. And it was like from age 10 till
14, 13. And it's like, I think about that all the time. It's like, my parents had it pretty good because I was just, they knew where I was.
Yeah, and we watch out for you. And, you know, the people get to know you and, you know.
How do most people that come through that aren't regulars find you?
I think it's word of mouth. I mean, because you'll get people that just live in Eagle that moved into the area, and we have been here for 5 years. I didn't know you were down here. And I don't know, maybe they drive by and see the sign. They talk to somebody, and finally they decide to come down here. As we talked earlier, we're getting some people because of you and your advocacy.
We got to get more.
I don't know how to say this, too, that this place is kind of, and you asked, too, about how we kept this place going. There's like a little community of people that have been invested in, they volunteer their time, they'll come in I had one of my brother-in-law's niece. I didn't have a bar cart person. No. And two of her sisters had worked for me, but she had never worked for me. But she came and did the bar cart on a Thursday night, which is like a 60-person shotgun league. I mean, that's the worst one to start with because you're like, you have to keep moving.
Get thrown into the wall.
Yeah, because there's somebody on the hole that wants something. She was like, she's an industrial engineer, middle management for UPS. So she picked it up, so there's been this little community of people, and I think that community interacts with other people and brings people in here also. There's guys like, the John Warren who shoots the yardages for the course yardages and does the slope and stuff for the Wisconsin State Golf Association. He knows and he comes and he tells people and he recommends us and he's in the business too, so he doesn't golf much, but there's just different people that, the hickory stick guys stumbled across us. So now we have a hickory stick group. They have an event here, and they, guys keep, come through periodically, and so it's kind of interesting.
Now for a quick word from our sponsor, Visit Milwaukee. Milwaukee is home to some top tournaments. They obviously hosted the PGA Championship in 2004, 2010, 2015. They had the U.S. Open in 2017 at Erin Hills. This year, they host the Ryder Cup in 2020. A great, fall spot for a trip. And where better to stay than centered around Milwaukee? You can bring the family. You can bring your wife, your significant other, to Milwaukee and make it a weekend with a little bit of golf. Centered around the bustling downtown area, it's only about an hour up to Kohler from there, and you can take advantage of the great restaurants. There's a lot of great golf within a drive. There's Eagle Springs, as we're talking about here. There's Brown Deer, the home of the GMO, where Tiger made his first start. We might have more of that on that coming. And you're right on the Lake Michigan. It's a beautiful fall place. Tons of activities to do beyond golf. And beyond everything else, it's filled with Midwest hospitality. People from Wisconsin are really nice, except when you're talking about them, about the Packers as a Bears fan. So to learn more about Milwaukee and making a great trip to Milwaukee, maybe for the Ryder Cup in 2020, go to visitmilwaukee.org/golf. Now back to Mike Bolin.
It's funny. I remember I played here when I was a little kid, and I'd always remembered that second hole, and that's how I kind of re-found it.
Yeah.
I was driving back from, I think it was either La Sonia or Sand Valley, and I was like, I got to stop at Eagle Springs. And I just found myself amazed at the golf course, like beyond just, obviously everybody's going to talk about that second hole because it's unlike anything you'll ever see in your lifetime. But you get on the first hole and that's one of the most amazing greens you'll ever see. And then the fourth hole has got to be one of the best par fours in Wisconsin. And you just go around and you're like, God, this is a really great little golf course. And in terms of nine holes, are nine holes becoming more popular because people have less and less time.
Right.
And I think that's what, and this has got more uniqueness and character than almost any course in America. Talk to us a little bit about the course design, the history of the golf course. As you know, originally 18 holes, but then it moved to nine. And, you know, I read on your website that the original design, somebody came in and redesigned it in the 20s, correct?
Well, not that I know of. It's always been, A.J. Spalding, I think, did it. And
former Cubs manager, right?
Right. Or Sox. Was it Sox or Cubs?
One of the two. I think it was the Cubs.
Okay.
I'm not positive, though.
And like I said, I'm 65. The course has pretty much been the same other than we did enlarge some of the greens and put the eyebrows and the bunkers on six, put an irrigation system in. Enlarge the seventh green, enlarge the fourth green, enlarge the sixth green. Built some new tees. I'm not sure if Spalding designed any more than the first and the second hole. The Hickory Stick guys have a theory that Langford or Bendelow worked for Spalding, but he didn't. I looked it up because they told me they were sure because you got the false fronts like Lasonia. And I'm like, I looked it up, and he didn't start working for Spalding until after this was.
Yeah, I looked it up too. It's somebody that knew what they were doing definitely designed the golf course. That's like one thing that's very clear. A few of the holes, like, scream Tom Bendelow, but then I talked to you, and it's like, you know, those eyebrow bunkers are very Victorian style, but then how do you go about being a golf course owner? Like, when do you decide to add tees, and when do you?
The biggest time we did it was when we dug the irrigation pond for the irrigation system,
and that's on the third hole, right?
It's on the third hole, and so originally there was a series of smaller ponds and streams between it, and so we connected, I think, three of those. So we had a lot of fill to get rid of, and so with the seventh hole, for instance, was the green and the sand trap looked exactly the same, but they were half the size.
Mm-hmm.
So we hauled a bunch of that spoil out and just reduplicated, went over the old sand trap with the spoil, dug out a new sand trap, so it looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit, it's kind of funky. People have problems putting it because if you're on the old part of the green, it breaks down towards the fairway, and the front part of the green is a little higher, so it breaks back up towards the hill. So it's a little funky that way. But
local knowledge, right?
Yeah. So same thing. We built a lot of tees from the spoil from there. I think the sand traps on, I just thought the sand traps on six, we brought that tongue down. The green didn't come between the sand traps, then we brought it between them, and then I just thought it gave them more of a eye line or whatever. So it's kind of, I look at stuff all the time. And where would be a good hole? In fact, when I was going to build another nine, I kind of had layouts for holes, and these are holes that if you, some of it is just, I don't know, I just see it and I think it'd be, when I went down to the meeting at GCOW yesterday, we were on 120 going down, and there's this creek along where you get down by that spring creek or whatever it is. There's a creek there and a valley there, and I used to drive there to see my cousins all the time, and I've always thought that would be a great place for a golf hole. I don't know. It's just some of it. Something is, you know, I just see stuff I got to get rid of some spoils, and I got to, you know, it's like there's not enough, you know, on number one and number four, because they were originally just the bowls. We're running out of, you know, we got busier. We're running out of cup positions. You know, mm-hmm. You just got to. You know, some of it is just need.
Yeah, I think that it's that left side that you built on one looks like it's been there forever.
Well, part of it was, and then it just, we brought that we filled in front, so it was the, you got the flat spot there. Mm-hmm. But the hilly part there, we didn't do much more than plant bent grass up there. We didn't really change it. We didn't regrade very much, or you know, frankly, we don't have the money most of the time. You know, it was a local. The guy who did the fill was we took soil off this place. The guy who did it was a guy who grew up. He worked here. His son worked here. His daughter worked, that guy's daughter worked here. So that, you know, they have this kind of, like I said, there's this community that kind of has kept.
They feel like they an ownership.
Right,
in a way,
right.
You know,
maybe it's not the most important place in their life, but it's a place that has some meaning to them. Mm-hmm. So,
and when did you guys do the irrigation?
We started in 88, and I think we brought it up in 89. 88, we had a bad drought here, and all there was crabgrass, and. So I started to ask, you know, my turf salesman, you know, cause a lot of them are ex-superintendents, you know, what am I going to do here? Is this grass going to come back? Is it dead or is it dormant? And they're like, I don't know. We don't know. And I'm like, well, should I put it, what about putting an irrigation system in? And they're like, none of them would say anything except for the Dewey Locke who built Kettle Moraine, which is just up 67. He told me, he goes, just do it. He says, you'll never regret it. And he was helpful, and it made the difference, and it came back. Mostly the grass did come back. It was dormant. It wasn't dead. There still was, in August, there was still a lot of crabgrass coming up because of all that seedbed. But
so that's got to be, you know, your biggest kind of expense, right? It is that when you got to do stuff in like a irrigation install?
Yes. It was the biggest one. The biggest dollar project that we ever did. We did a lot of stuff that you're young, you don't know. You know, my crew of kids and I, we picked up all the spoils, and it's gravel around here, so we picked up spoils. We bed the trench in sand, so we had a dump truck, and we'd shovel it. Well, we had a front-end loader we could put the sand on, but we were in the dump truck shoveling off by hand. We did so much handwork. It's one of those things, if you knew what you were in for, you never would do it. But you know, then once you do it, it's kind of like, well, it's a big thing. So it was a really simple system. It was guys from Illinois that put it in. And then, I don't know, probably 15 years ago, 12 years ago, I put in a variable frequency drive, which when you put the original system in, it's either all on or all off, and then you had a lot of water hammer. And we were starting to have to repair a lot of breaks. Mm-hmm. So the variable frequency drive kind of worms up the pressure. It kind of builds slowly, and we have not had to fix. We have to fix sprinkler heads because they're old, but not too many breaks anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's a 30-year-old system, which by all means is supposed to be, not supposed to be working.
I was thinking is 30 years is what they say is kind of your.
Yeah. The other thing we did, because I was always going to build 18 holes, is it's oversized. So we didn't run at the smallest pipe. Our pipes are bigger, so that may have something to do with it, too, that we built a system that could carry more load than, you know, heavier pipe, and the bigger you go, the heavier it is a little bit. So so those were the two. And that was like, at that time, that was like a $30,000 expenditure, which, you know, for me, again, that's a big expenditure. Luckily for me, the bank's been really supportive. I pay my bills and, you know,
yeah.
But, even in the middle of the crash, I bought a new set of about 24 brand new carts, and the bank just said, okay. So,
Yeah, your family's probably built up a lot of goodwill over the last, you know, 100,
yeah, some of them, 130 some of them, years. You know, we're stubborn Irish people too, you know. You know, we bump our heads into things here and there.
Let's talk about the second hole.
Yeah.
It's what was first timers' reactions usually?
Well, there's people that play here because they've heard about it and they want to play it. There's people that hate it, and there's people that find it hard to believe, you know, that, that there's a hole like that, you know. Brett said that it was, he said it was the most severe sloped green, raised sloped green like that. And he did say, I appreciate the fact that you didn't do what most people would have done and cut it down when people, you know, when you, as my clientele's gotten older, he said they would have cut it down and made the green bigger instead of building the extra hole off to the side. You know, if you're on the left side, you know, and believe me, I've been everywhere on that over the course of my life. It's, you know, it's pretty steep, you know, it's, you know, and when I was a kid, we didn't mow it that often. We cut it with scythes and whips like three times.
How do you mow that?
Line trimmers. Well, you can, you can mow most of it with a, we have a Toro Sidewinders where the deck slides so you can get, changes the center of gravity so you can go up the, so you can mow most of it, but the left side's all line trimmers. Underneath the sand traps, the top 15 feet's line trimmers. So that's, you know, the back, we used to mow the back a little better. One of my friends has got, or one of the kids that worked for me that's in the construction, he's got a Trek Bobcat with a kind of industrial mower. And I was thinking maybe I could see if I could get him to cut the back down a little bit again. Because the back used to be be playable back there, but it's not real playable anymore.
Do you have any clue how that got built?
No. I don't.
Yeah, I was trying to think it could be either like rubble, maybe they piled up rubble.
Yeah, I'm guessing that, you know, based, because you have, you know, the tee off is a ridge, so maybe there was just a ridge and maybe there was water washed out. I don't know. Maybe it was roughly there. My family, and there's another family on the lake, supposedly there's connected with Lake Lulu, and they use scoops with horses to haul fill, I don't know, maybe they hauled fill that way. Maybe they scooped out, down to the right where the new two is, there's a hole there. Maybe they were scooped out and had horses drag it up the hill. I don't know.
How tall is it from the left side?
Well, it's hard to say because it falls all the way away from you till the fairway's gone. Because it's on that's still part of the hill down there. I'd say 20, 25 feet maybe at, when you get off by the fairway, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say 30. Yeah. It's got to be 10 yards up.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, I think you just had a 9-iron. I could, the grass was longer and the greens was slower, but I could pop it up and keep it on there when I was a kid. And, you know, now I struggle with a 60-degree open. Although if you're, and the grass is fairly tight down there. If you have a bad lie, though, a lot of my older guys will just Texas wedge it up the hill. They've mm-hmm. gotten down where they know how hard to hit that putter, and it just goes, it bounces up. And, you know, and when I was younger, I learned that I sculled a shot and it hit it two-thirds of the way up, and it pops up. And so if you have a bad lie that way, that's, as opposed to hitting a putter, I'm more like trying to slam it into the hill and pop it up. But,
So you have 10 holes, and you have an alternate second hole.
Yes.
What was the why was that built?
Because my customers were my older customers were starting not to play number two. They'd take a six and they would drive by, and my joke was that they would pretty soon they'll start driving by my driveway. So it was to provide them with an alternative. Because really, if you're not in shape to climb around two, as long as you're on the ramp, you're fine, and you're on the green, you're fine. But it's a little bit of a struggle for everywhere else. Even you see these old guys who hate sand traps, and they're cheering for the sand trap to catch them because they don't want to be on the side of the hill, even though that sand trap's not easy for a person to hit out of. But So we built this over 4 or 5 years. We started to grub this out, and we built this. And typically,
it's a neat little hole.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of the seniors play it. The women's league plays it. Although there's a lot of them are seniors also. It's also, if you miss it, it's difficult to get on too. It's not, you know, there needs to be some more grubbing done around that, but
it would help probably the turf down there too. Yeah. You know, but it's hard, you know. Yeah. You don't have the huge staff, right?
Right. Well, and the thing too for the green, we had a problem. We tried to make a push-up green because all the other greens are push-up greens, native soil. And I think we had too much clay in the soil, so we've been trying to amend it with sand to try to get a little more loamy. So we've had a little bit of trouble with certain spots down there. And the drainage comes through there, and we didn't do a very good job with the surface drainage either on the left. I think my construction friend was trying to save me money as opposed to... And we thought we'd try it, and then it really hasn't worked out. So,
being the owner and, you know, deciding these things, like, how many times have you seen where you've tried to save money with something, but then in the long term, because of either maintenance time or breaking down, it ends up costing you?
Lots, you know, because I've been doing it for a long time, and there's people that come and said, you know, the golfer said, have you ever thought about doing this? And I go, yeah, we probably even tried it, and it doesn't work. It didn't work that time. I can't tell you that if, you know, somebody with a little, because I'm really open to anybody. You know, I don't care who you are. If you're the 15-year-old that just walked around the property and said, how come you do that? Couldn't you do this? And it's like, oh, yeah, that maybe that's a good idea. I'm open to that, anything, anybody. So, but we have tried a lot of different approaches, or, you know. So it ends up you pretty much you have to go back to the basics, and, you know, can you top dress with the old style drop top dressers as opposed to the new style? Avoid spending the money on the spinners, or, you know, we've gone to going with fertilizer spreaders and buying bag sand to top dress more often, you know. So it just, you know, there's. And, you know, and stuff in the golf maintenance that falls in and out of fashion too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's not. You know, there's some pretty much basics, but there's stuff that falls in and out of fashion. So
definitely a trend. You know, yeah. In terms of what would you say as an owner you look back on and laugh most about as you're, you know, like, I can't believe I thought that would work.
One of my friends and I were just trying to pull a truck pop. The transmission popped out. We tried to pull it with the skid steer. We pulled it into a wall. We pulled it into a tree. I mean, it's... I'd have to think about that.
Yeah. What's the best decision you've ever made?
Well, there's probably a number of them. I mean, the irrigation system on the golf course side. Hiring, there's been... Over the years, there's probably been three or four people that probably became identified with this, worked for me for multiple years and became identified with the place, probably almost as much as I was, and actually taught me stuff that I wouldn't have learned, I don't think, if they would have been here. So some of it has to do with the people, but as far as the golf course, itself, it was probably the irrigation system. You know, I fight with the computer system, even though now the millennials are going to book everything, so you got to have the computer system. But I always ask Luann, who worked for me for, she's probably working for 20 years, I'm like, and she loved the computer to begin with. I was like, I don't know, it's so much more work. It creates like another job. It's not that much better than the paper T-sheet, you know. So, but people
can find you.
Yeah, but now, you know, now the next generation does everything online. There's no choice anymore.
See, I think it takes longer to book something online than to call and book something.
Yeah, but I think it is, kids don't like talking to people. That's the thing. They would come, they would book, check in, and get their cart and go and not want to talk to anyone, which is kind of the weird thing, I think. But because that's one of the big things about golf, is it's a social, for, you know, I mean, I was a serious player. I still play the ball down. I call penalties on myself, but it's a game of fun for people, and, you know, that's one of the things, I think, is, you know, as I became, I started to look at other people's approach to the game, and you know, people have fun. You know, they bump the ball, they have fun. It's, you know, it's there's a lot of ways to you know you can do this. And
if you could do one project, say cost prohibited, no costs to it, what would you do to the golf course?
I would have bought my neighbor's land that the Nature Conservancy just bought, and I would have built another nine hole. That's pretty spectacular, rugged land back there, and you know, from my perspective, you know, building is way more fun than maintaining.
Yeah,
that's so. If that's you know,
we should just go mow out some of those lost holes.
Yeah, well, maybe. Except if I knew where they were, you know, that's
I could find them.
There's, I mean, I thought there was, you know, I thought I had some decent holes on the layout that I, you know, it's pretty primitive layout. I'm just working on the 15 degree rule. You know, I don't know if you, you know, 15 degrees, you have to, that was what the guy who told me to put the irrigation system in, because he did that, he designed it. So you have a center line, and then you have 15 degrees on either side. Oops. And so that's, as it goes out, that's where your drive is going to, you know, you can't have it cross, you know, if you start crossing fairways, you're going to start hitting people. Or if you have real estate, you're going to start hitting buildings or whatever. So that was, you know, but I laid out holes. There's still one little short par three that I think there's like a little peninsula that's narrow and sits out on a thumb, and it wouldn't have to be long because you have a narrow green you're hitting at. But it's, you know, probably not my... Won't be me if that does that.
Mm-hmm. So do you have kids?
I have three stepkids. All of them worked multiple years here. They all care about the place. The oldest one lives in Amsterdam, and if she was closer, she said she would give a role to try to run it. The second one's just became a doctor, so she's you know doing that and paying off her
medical bills.
Yeah, her loans.
That's cool.
And the youngest one who probably worked here, he probably worked here 14 or 15 years. He's getting a PhD in biochemistry at Arizona State. And he would like to do it. He'd like to be further along and thinks he could, you know, somewhat remotely. But he's worked inside. He's worked outside. He's done, you know, he's done pretty much all the jobs here. So, but it doesn't appear that... at least right at this moment, they're going
to
be.
I mean, you could be an academic. You could be an ideal job for somebody that wants to be a writer.
Yeah, well, you know,
could just write while people aren't here, and yeah. And then talk to people when they are here.
Yeah, I don't know. He has this thing. He was going to be an academic, but now he's you know. And even though they pay you to as a science grad student. He's tired of being broke, so he might go work in industry for a little while. So
yeah, it's hard being broke.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's accruing debt because they do pay him.
Yeah,
you know, enough to survive. But
I mean, hopefully he'll keep going in the family.
Yeah. Both the girls, the two older ones, both of them were married here. So we had big wedding.
Do you guys do weddings a lot?
We not really. We've done some friends' weddings. You know, there's a couple people that got married, small, you know, half-hour deals up on number 5, looking out over the lake up there. A couple people got married up there, but we haven't moved into that, you know, that market so much. Although, you know, the ones we put on for the kids were pretty, you know. You know, it's like a week of work getting the place ready down here.
So, what are the cabins used for now?
Right now they're seasonal rentals. So they rent from May 1st to November 1st, and they're not heated. And we blew out the water. A couple Mondays ago, we blew out the golf course on Sunday and blew out the cottages on Monday. It's pretty much the same people come back. Some in these two cottages, some of the people probably been for 40 years, 45 years. So it's kind of like a little community. The cottage up there, behind you up on top of the hill there, the center, there's a concrete building. It was an ice house for the hotel. And then they put porches on. There's another one that was a log cabin. It was, they built it as a playhouse for my mother, and then they put porches on it. And so these people rent it. They have access. I, you know, own like 800 feet of lake frontage down in front there. So they have access to the lake, and mm-hmm. some of them golf, some of them don't golf. Some golf a lot, some of them just golf a little.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool place. Everybody should come by if they're in their area. Drive by. If you're in Milwaukee, come here.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, and there's springs down there. If you've never seen a bubbling spring, there's down in front there, there's bubbling springs.
Yeah.
So it's...
Is it bubbling now?
Yeah. All year.
It's crazy. It's cold.
It doesn't really freeze. Those ponds, those springs don't really freeze. You might get, if you got a really, really cold week, you might get a skim, but as soon as it gets back up to 15 or 20, it comes off right away.
So is it how warm's the water in the summer there?
In the springs, I think it's in the 40s.
Oh, so it stays really cold in the summer. Yeah,
there was a back in an earlier iteration of how we used to water out of the bigger pond down there, and there's a concrete building, and periodically you have to go and clean the filter in there, and so you have to go walk in the pond, and by the time you got done, we're not quite numb, but you get out, and it's like 80 degrees, and you come out, and your legs are really cold. It burns like crazy. It burns like, but you know, you had to do it because otherwise that was the only, and you could only water like three holes at a time. And it was all hose and bibs, so you would be dragging a hose out and turning them on. And so one night you'd water these three. We almost never watered three and five, only later on we started to bring a gas portable pump down there. And
three's got to be a drainage issue, huh?
It is. We have two. We have three sump pumps that are running all the time down there. You know, they're on floats. They don't pump all the time, but mm-hmm. This year they were pumping a lot. But you know, some years you get a pretty hard bounce down for number three, and the same thing on five. And if you hear in at the end of the year, you come in and you if you hit the back part of the green, it's gone. Over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool place. Everybody should come. So we'll see you hopefully next year at the steam shovel. But thanks for taking the time.
Well, thanks for asking me.